Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
I'm glad I'm under the anointing of Pastor Stan. Hallelujah. I hope I will encourage someone today. Hallelujah. Whatever the Lord has laid in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. If we can just be upstanding for the reading of our scripture. Our scripture is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, from verse 10 to 11. Hallelujah. The Bible reads, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded we are going to the grave. Amen. You live another day, you are one step closer to your dying day. Amen. And that is the appointment no one can forego. Amen. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the man of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to all of them." Amen. We are here because we have a chance to be here. Amen. We are here because we have a time to be here. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. Someone has been praying for you. Someone has been fasting for you to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there any witness in the house? Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 7 to 8. Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 from 7 to 8, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Amen. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me, but to all those who love his appearing." Amen. In the next few moments, I would like to minister on this thought, finishing the race. Amen. Finishing the race. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this moment, oh God. As we can be seen in your house, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy throughout the year, oh Lord. We are about to go to a next new year, oh Lord. We pray, Lord, in this moment that you will minister to us, oh God. Encourage someone, Father. We pray for your anointing to saturate this house, oh God. Anoint our hearts and our ears to hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Tomorrow we'll be starting all over again from the first of a new month. And I was just asking the Lord, what do you want me to tell the church? Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's amazing that Paul used this analogy of an athlete, amen, to try and send a picture, hallelujah, of what we're going through. Amen. Hallelujah. I found a story on the web. It says, in Mexico City is a world away from the East African country of Tanzania, where John Stephen Akwari lived. But that's exactly where he found himself. In October 1968, representing his country in the Summer Olympic Games as a marathon runner. Unfortunately, Akwari suffered a fall during the race. He fell hard on rough concrete badly cutting his right leg and dislocating his knee. Medical personnel arrived quickly and bandaged his wounds, but the dislocated knee required more treatment than they were prepared for in the street. He needed to go to the hospital. But against their advice, Akwari instead stood up and started off down the road behind the rest of the runners. Given the severity of his injuries, he couldn't run his normal pace. With a combination of jogging, hobbling, and walking, he pushed ahead. At 2 hours, 20 minutes, 20 seconds into the race, Mama World of Ethiopia crossed the finish line in first place. Most of the remaining competitors finished within a few minutes. Akwari was nowhere close. An hour later, the Olympic Stadium had only a few thousand people left in it. The marathon was the last event of the day, and the sun had already set. Mexico City was brutal on the marathon runners. At 7,400 feet in altitude, the air has 23% less oxygen than at sea level. As a result, 17 of the 74 runners failed to finish the race on that day. Akwari, bloodied and injured, was determined to not be one of them. Followed by a police escort and clearly in great pain, Akwari finally arrived and limped his way onto the track, his loosening bandages dangling from his leg as the diminished crowd cheered in awe and disbelief. John Akwari made his way around the track and crossed the finish line at 3 hours, 25 minutes, and 25 seconds in last place. Amen. The few remaining reporters rushed onto the field to ask him why he continued running in that condition. He responded simply, "My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start this race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish it." Amen. Despite coming in at last place, it was his story that was in the paper the next day and talked about all over the world. His dedication became an inspiration to millions and earned him the title King Without a Crown. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we can draw some inspiration from this athlete, hallelujah, in our walk with God. Amen. Because if you look around, hallelujah, we are here on the last day of the year. Amen. All I can see sitting down here is our overcomers. Amen. Hallelujah. We have things thrown at us during the year. Hallelujah. Some have financial troubles. Some have relationship troubles. Amen. Some health issues in their life. But we're still able to drag our body, oh God, hallelujah, as a songwriter said, a bag of bones into this house, amen, to continue serving the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Do you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" Amen. And he went on to say, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Amen. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. The only thing in racing, because the crown is just temporary. Amen. Hallelujah. And Paul is saying, "But we for an imperishable crown." Amen. Your journey in life. Amen. Your work with God. Hallelujah. God has promised there's a crown waiting for us. Amen. We do not want to be like John Akwari running, hallelujah, and earn this title, King Without a Crown. Amen. God has prepared a crown for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 1, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You know, Paul was convinced that sin will drag you down in this race. In your walk with God, there are sins, you know, we normally just say, "Oh, these are just minor things." You know, sometimes we draw a gray line, you know. But we thank God, you know, like he calls sin a sin. Amen? Hallelujah. And Paul was saying to the Hebrews, "You be careful how you run, because there are other people looking at you." Amen? you are not only saving yourself, but someone is looking at you. Amen. Someone who is new to this environment, new into believing in God, have faith in God. Amen. Someone is looking for an inspiration. Amen. Because if you throw in the towel, whoever is fixing his eyes on you will walk away as well. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't know how powerful. Hallelujah. You can impact a life. Hallelujah. By walking with God. Amen. Hallelujah. We do not want to be like Peter at one stage. He was sinned. Amen. Hallelujah. He was walking, but not walking with the Lord. He was just around people that were serving the Lord until his eyes was fixed on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. His relationship with the Lord changed. Amen. Therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I was wondering, Sister Gina, do they have, you know, any competition back then? Because Paul was, you know, using sports as an analogy. I mean, maybe he have seen a boxing fight. Hallelujah. Maybe he have seen runners. Amen. Running a race. Hallelujah. I tried to, you know, look into this race, you know, like marathon. This race is not for everyone. Amen. This is the kind of race that you just don't rock up on the day, put the jogging shoes and you run. No, you can't. Amen. You can't fake yourself around in this game, in this race. Amen. Hallelujah. With boxing, you can. Amen. You can just show up. We throw you the gloves. I mean, I would love if I'm paid $1 million to fight Mike Tyson. Amen. I'll just fake my way in, put the gloves in, get a beating and walk out with $1 million. Amen. Easy. But this race, they say you can't. There are certain characteristics you have to be able to run in this marathon. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to be focused. Amen. Don't let anything stand between you and your goal. Amen. Focus runners have specific aims and goals, not just taking part. Amen. You just don't rock up to be a marathon runner just for the sake of coming up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You need to be inspired, inspiring. Inspire someone. Hallelujah. Because it's a tough race. Amen. People will give up. People will walk out. Amen. Hallelujah. You gotta be resilient. Amen. These marathon runners, they are a special breed of people. I thought only we Fijians are a special breed. No offense to, you know, because we won 2 Olympic Games in the 7s. I thought we were a special breed. But when I found out these marathon runners, although they are tiny, amen, hallelujah, but they have some characteristics that we can learn from as a Christian. Amen. We need to be resilient. Amen. To be able to run through bust blisters. Amen. To be run with shin splits and pain. Amen. Hallelujah. They keep their heads up and do anything to get to the finish line. Amen. Hallelujah. Walking with God. I've been serving the Lord for about 24 years now. Hallelujah. It's not like all rosy and gloomy. Amen. Hallelujah. There's pain along the way. Hallelujah. There's suffering along the way. There is trials along the way. But I thank God, hallelujah, I can overcome because of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We are here because of the blood and his grace. Hallelujah. You are not here by chance. Hallelujah. It's not a coincidence. If you walk through this room, hallelujah, God has a calling for you. God has a purpose for you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to be a marathon runner, you got to be prepared. Amen. They say heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Amen. I wish I was that man that was, you know, on the cross when Jesus was about to die, that thief. Amen. Because he repented at the same time. Amen. And he found grace. Hallelujah. You got to be prepared. Amen. A marathon runner requires intricate planning and preparation. It's not the type of event where you can just show up. Most runners follow a strict diet and running schedule. We Fijians are not good marathon runners. We can't follow a strict diet. Hallelujah. My wife will be smiling because every time we have a feed, get me some pork, please. I don't eat pork, man. But because of her, I'm addicted to eating pork now. Hallelujah, you got to have a strict diet. Working with God, hallelujah, you've got to have a strict discipline. Amen? Because we are called to be disciples. And the root word of disciple is discipline. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes we don't want to be disciplined. Amen? We need to have, amen, a teachable spirit if you want to walk with the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. If you are prepared, you will turn up in prime condition, ready to race. Hallelujah. And lastly, you got to be brave. Amen. Serving the Lord is not for the weak. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Serving the Lord is not for the weak. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because He gives strength to the weak. Amen. He gives grace to the humble. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul said, run in such a way that you obtain it. Amen. Be careful how you run. Hallelujah. I was reading this story of the prophet Elisha. And if you look at prophet Elisha, he was a product of the ministry of Elijah. Amen. So when Elijah was about to depart, he asked Elijah, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion of what you have. Praise God. And there were certain conditions to be met to be able to get the double portion. Praise God. And the Bible says he was taken away and he dropped his mantle. And the prophet Elijah picked it up. Amen. And he started doing miracles using that mantle. Amen. As soon as he received it, the first miracle he did, he just threw it on the Jordan River and it went apart and then he walked through. Amen. And the Bible tells us that there were a few miracles that he did on the way. And along the way, he got this young boy named Gehazi. Amen. And he was grooming him under his ministry. Amen. To take over from him. Praise God. And this young man saw all the miracles that the man of God did. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a few miracles that he did. He struck the water, it parted. He put salt into contaminated water, and it stopped the death and barrenness from the people of God. Hallelujah. He cursed some young boys. They were mocking him, bald head. Hallelujah. And he cursed them. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought prophets should love, the saints. Amen. And he got angry because they told him, you bald head. Amen. You know what happened when he cursed them? 42 bears mauled this young and it killed them. Amen. And these are some of the miracles that Gehazi, experienced in his walk with God. Hallelujah. It even said that one day he fed 100 people with 20 barley of bread, And those are some of the miracles that Gehazi did. But one day, a Syrian commander by the name of Naaman, amen, they went to war with Israel. They took an Israelite girl. So they took her, as the spoil of war in their house. And one day this young girl saw Naaman taking off his military coat. And he saw that Naaman had got leprosy. So he spoke to, Naaman's wife. Man, I think this young girl, he got some manners, you know what I'm saying? He just spoke to the Naaman's wife. He said, that leprosy, I got a prophet in my country. He can heal him. So the story goes on that Naaman heard it, and then he asked permission from the king of Syria because they were having, a fight with the kingdom of Israel. So they went with gold, silver, and clothes. And Elijah did the miracle. He told him, go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Praise God. And when he came back, he was healed. He came to Elijah to give the spoils, the money that he got. But he refused, the man of God. And I was wondering, you know, why? Why did he refuse? So when they left, Gehazi ran after Naaman. He ran after the spoils. He ran after gold and silver. Amen. I would like to remind someone today, make sure you're running for the right reason. Amen. Not all riches are blessed. Some are cursed. Amen. I thank God that the man of God has already discerned that the money is cursed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, this young boy, hallelujah, he was a source of curse to his whole family. Because the leprosy that Naaman got, hallelujah, it was transferred to him. Why? Because he ran for the wrong reasons. Hallelujah. If I can encourage someone, you can run, but just don't run anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. There are leaders among us. There are men of God that are way above us. Amen. They can show us the way. Sometimes it's not easy. Amen. To be corrected, to be told what to do. You know, I have this experience with my family, my kids. Amen. When I tell them, this is what the word of God says. Amen. They get offended. Amen. Hallelujah. I know we have to respect individual rights in this country. But I said, I'm just throwing it. You be careful. Amen. There's consequences in disobeying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only 2 choices with God. Yes or no. Blessed or cursed. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't go anywhere around apart from that. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Amen. This morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be careful how you run. Hallelujah. In a track and field athlete, some start strong. Amen. And midway, they fall out. Amen. If a boxer goes out and dodges punches for a couple of rounds and loses all of his discipline in the later rounds, what do you accomplish? Hallelujah. In the same way, your spiritual journey isn't about how you start. I don't know how you started this year. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all about how you finish the race. Amen. Hallelujah. We are here in the last day of this year. Amen. You can look around through your own experiences, walking with God. Some of us may be successful throughout this year. Hallelujah. Some have failures. Hallelujah. I've got some, you know, obstacles throughout this year I've faced in my walk with God. But I don't want it to come in the way of me. Hallelujah. Throwing in the towel. Hallelujah. And just walking away from the presence of God. What else do I have? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know how it's been like through your year. Hallelujah. You have your own struggles. Hallelujah. You may be struggling with something. Hallelujah. But I just can say this. Remember, an arrow can only be shot by pulling it backwards. Amen? So when life is dragging you back with difficulties, it means it's going to launch you into something great. Amen? So just focus. Hallelujah. Keep aiming. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Keep fasting. Keep living for God. Keep reaching for others. Hallelujah. Keep loving one another. Amen. If God can close the mouths of the lions for Daniel, if he can part the Red Sea for Moses, if he can make the sun stand still for Joshua, if he can open the prison gates for Peter, if he can put a baby in Sarah's hand, hallelujah, and raise Lazarus from the dead, I certainly believe with my heart that God can do something for you, hallelujah. God can fight for your battles, amen. God can lead you, hallelujah, into the way of righteousness. Hallelujah. Being truly grateful is one of the most important aspects of maturing spiritually. Amen. Psalms chapter 103 from verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Amen. Walking with the Lord has some benefits, I tell you. Amen. Praise God. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude will result in praise, which invites the presence of God into your situation. Amen. Being thankful results in supernatural strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Consider taking a few moments. Just look back at your life. Amen. When you got saved. Amen. And look back since you got when you got saved. Just look at the benefits that the Lord has given you and me. Amen. I believe everyone has a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Of what the Lord has done. Amen. If you look back, you'll see that there's a lot of benefit in serving the Lord. Amen. I got a quote from a Reverend Victor Jackson. He said, David needed a sling for his giant, but he needed a harp to get into the palace. Your enemy wants to know if you can fight, but your destiny wants to know if you can dance. Amen. In other words, the devil wants to fight you. Hallelujah. But, amen, the devil will be surprised if he's coming at you and you dancing. Why? Because we have a destiny. Hallelujah. There's a place where we are going. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to a city. Hallelujah. There's no more pain. Hallelujah. No more sorrow. I was reading a story about King David after the death of Saul and his son, Jonathan. Because David has been running from them because they were trying to kill him. Amen? So he was running until he heard that they have been killed. So, you know, I thought that everything will be all right for David. But the Bible says in this story, Second Samuel 22, if you have time, read it. You will see this story is written in that particular verse. So after that, there were famines going on in Israel. The Bible says for 3 consecutive years, there was just famine in the land. Amen. And I look at my situation, some, you know, petty things that happen in my life. Sometimes I make it big. I just enlarge it with my naked eyes, you know, and trying to discourage me from, you know, walking with the Lord, you know, doing things for the Lord. But 3 years continuous famine, it's pretty tough. Amen. So he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, oh, you are experiencing this because you have breached a vow that you have made. You are supposed to protect the Gibeonites. Amen. There was a war and then they had, so cut the long story short, they had this, treaty. They were supposed to look after these Gibeonites. But King Saul, he attacked them. So David asked the Lord, what shall we do? He said, he went to see the Gibeonites. And this is what they said. For us to forgive you, we need to kill 7 of Saul's descendants. We want 7 male. Amen. So they looked around and they found 7 descendants of Saul. So they saved Mephibosheth because David has, you know, he was good to his friend Jonathan. So after that, the famine finished. It went away. But then the Philistine starts attacking David again. Amen? Hallelujah. When I read this story, I think David was just going through, you know, trials after trials, you know. He's going through making it hard, you know, tough in life. Praise God. And I just want to encourage someone. You know, life might be tough, yes. Hallelujah. But the spirit that David had, he kept inquiring of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the Philistines, they came and they tried to fight the Israelites. And the Bible says that they went to fight. David was leading them. And he was nearly killed that day. There was a giant by the name of Ishbi-benob, you know, one of the sons of the giants. He's got a weight of his bronze spear weighed at 300 shekels. and he had a new sword. He could have killed David that day. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck him dead. So they told, his men told David, you need to go back home. You are tired. You are, you know, you are old. You have been fighting these battles. So the Bible said, the men of David, his brethren, then they will start killing the giants, the remaining giants that were left in Philistine. Amen. The Bible says they killed Seth, a son of a giant. They killed Goliath's brother. They killed a man 6 fingers on each hand. Amen. Without David. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm of the view this morning, like, you know, when you're fighting a battle, someone is looking up to you. Amen. Whatever giants you fight, you will be breeding giant killers. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone said you will reproduce who you are. Amen. If you are a man of prayer, those that follow you will be men of prayer. If you are a man that lives holy, those that follow you, they will be holy. Amen. If you are a man of favor, hallelujah, those that follow you, amen, will be the same. Amen. I thank God this morning, hallelujah, that I can be here. Hallelujah. I'm closing now. Hallelujah. I'd like to take us to the last book of the Bible. Since it's the last day, why not we just go to the book of Revelation and just see what is there? Maybe we can get some learnings out of this book. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Revelation means in Latin, revelatio, to reveal or unveil, amen, something that is unknown. It was written by the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, the son of Zebedee. He was the author of John, the Gospel of John, and his 3 epistles. Hallelujah. Bible scholars say that this book was written in year AD 96 in the island of Patmos when he was there. Amen. It is a prophetic book which reveals the future. Amen. There is a claim that the greatest part of the book had been already fulfilled in the early history of the church. Historically, it is claimed that the book deals with the whole period of church history from John's time to the end of the world. And major part of the book deals with what is still future. So apart from the first 3 chapters, the book deals with the Lord's coming and judgment to take place. So if you read Revelation from Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. So if you look at the book of Revelation and you compare it to the book of Genesis, it gives us an understanding concerning the beginning of everything. Amen? And it teaches, Revelation teaches us the coming or the things that are ahead of us. Amen. If you look at Genesis, paradise was lost. And if you look in Revelation, paradise was regained. In Genesis, the first city a failure. And in Revelation, the city was redeemed. Hallelujah. In Genesis, it was the beginning of the curse of mankind. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, there was no more curse. In the book of Genesis, there was the first marriage, the marriage of the first Adam. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about the marriage of the second Adam. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis were recorded the first tears. And in the book of Revelation, it says every tear is wiped away. In the book of Genesis, it tells us Satan's entrance. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about Satan's doom. In the book of Genesis, communion was broken. And in the book of Revelation, communion was restored. Amen. And in this book, they say that 7 is the completion number of the Lord. Amen. There are 7 sevens in this book. You have the 7 churches. You have the 7 trumpet. Amen. I don't have time to go into detail into that. But the first 3 chapters, it talks about the church. Amen. And after chapter 3, the church disappeared. You don't hear any mention of the church into the latest chapter, I think maybe chapter 18. So there was 8 churches. I would like to run through, you know, just a summary of what the Bible talks about this church. Amen. And we are here as a church, not as an individual. Amen. So God is talking to the church. Amen. Church in Ephesus, it was the loveless church. Amen. The Bible says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. The church was found to have left her first love. Amen. It is a deliberate, willful act of walking away from the love they had at the beginning. They were told to repent and do the first works, or else, the Bible says, God will come and remove their lampstand from the old life. Amen. I'd like to encourage someone, if you have walked away from your first love, hallelujah, you need to get back into that. Amen. Hallelujah. Try to regain your first love. Hallelujah. In the church in Smyrna, the Bible says this church was a persecuted church. Hallelujah. This word came from this root word, myrrh. It's a fragrant spice. But it has to be crushed and beaten before it gives forth its perfume. Amen. Smyrna means bitter. Bitter to the taste, but after crushing, fragrance released. Amen. Sometimes the church, is allowed to go through a time of crushing. Amen. Hallelujah. We will experience some, bitter parts of our life. Hallelujah. But this, brings us the fragrance in us. Amen. This brings out the beauty about serving the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says there was no rebuke for this church. No rebuke. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are able to endure, suffering, hallelujah, there's no rebuke for that. God loves it when you go through that. Hallelujah. The third church is in Pergamos. The Bible says this is a compromising church. Amen. Pergamos means married. Hallelujah. You are married to the world. They were commended for holding fast to the name of Jesus, not denying the faith. They were condemned for spiritual fornication. Amen. Hallelujah, they were looking around instead of gracing into the church, because God will give us spiritual nourishment. Amen, hallelujah. You'll find it here, not outside. Amen, hallelujah. There's nothing there in the world. Amen, the church in Thyatira, hallelujah, it says this is the corrupt church. Amen, even though they were giving, they were a service-oriented church. They had patience and work of charity. But they were rebuked for tolerating the spirit of Jezebel and committing sexual immorality. Hallelujah. They were told to hold fast, to repent. Amen. Church in Sardis, the Bible says, this is a dead church. They were commended for their works, although they were imperfect. They had much ritual and ceremony, but no true relationship with God. They have a name. They are alive, but the Bible says they are dead. Man, he said to them, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Your works not perfect before God. Hold fast and repent. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Church, we need to be alive. Amen. We need to have that fire for God. Hallelujah. We don't have to be told to fast. We don't have to be told to give. Hallelujah. That has to be burning within us. Amen. Hallelujah. That has to be in our lifestyle. Amen. Hallelujah. I have mentioned this somewhere. Sometimes we are called wheelbarrow Christians. Hallelujah. Just waiting to be pushed. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to have that fire in our belly. Amen. Because the Bible says, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Church number 6 is the church in Philadelphia. The Bible says this is the faithful church. Hallelujah. Brother Ben, this is the brotherly love church. Amen. This is the church that will be raptured when Jesus returns. You know, if you love one another here, the Bible says there's no criticism for this church. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you have brotherly love in here, they are promised open doors. Hallelujah. Not only to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. But open doors of the hearts of men, of sinners. Amen. Hallelujah. They had little strength. They kept the word, not denied his name. Amen. Bible says he put an open door, no man can shut, and a promise of escaping the great tribulation. Hallelujah. There is no fault found in this church. If we can only love one another. Amen. Hallelujah. In this church, love your friend. Love your neighbor. Hallelujah. Love your wife. Love your sister. Hallelujah. There's no rebuke. Hallelujah. There is a rapture coming. Amen. Hallelujah. This church will be raptured because it's a brotherly love church. And the last church, church in Laodicea, it says it's a lukewarm church. Hallelujah. They are claimed to be wealthy and need of nothing. They've got everything. But the Bible says they were lukewarm. Amen. They were neither cold, they were not hot. The Lord said, I will spit you out. Amen. Hallelujah. If something the Lord would remind us before we cross over to a new year. Hallelujah. Let's not be cold. Hallelujah. We try to be hot. Hallelujah. Not to be lukewarm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'd like to conclude with this. And one of the saddest pictures in the Bible that we can see, the Lord standing at the door of our hearts, knocking, standing at the sinner's heart. Hallelujah. And he said, hallelujah, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come to him. You know, most of the time we close the door of our hearts to the word of God. Hallelujah. We harden our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says he's standing on the door knocking. I don't know if I'm talking to someone. Even if you haven't started this race call, you know, life with faith, you still can make it right now. Hallelujah. If you haven't been baptized, hallelujah, you can make it right now. Hallelujah. There's a water of baptism there. Because the Bible says they asked that day, what shall we do? Hallelujah. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to someone today. If you haven't taken that step, today is your day. Before you cross over, hallelujah, let today be the day you make a decision of your day. Hallelujah. Finishing the race. God bless you.
Time with the Lord. Why don't you come? The altar is open. We have ministers and leaders that can pray with you this morning. If you need the Holy Ghost, let someone know that you want the Holy Ghost. We can pray for you. We can pray and help you, assist you in receiving the Holy Ghost. We don't give you the Holy Ghost. God gives you the Holy Ghost. But just as they did in the book of Acts in chapter 19, verse 6, they lay hands upon the believers and they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We can do that this morning. If you have a need from God, come and spend some time with the Lord. Come and lay it at the Lord's feet and God can deal with you. We have leaders. If you could come and pray with these people. Thank you, Brother Samisi, for that word.
Every song must end.